just so many that you think about them during the day and you just, you know, always like what General Jackson, you know, Brother Brown always tells that story. I always like it. Pray without ceasing. Right. And that man asked General Jackson, he said, well, how can you pray without ceasing? And he said, I can't do anything without praying. He said, I don't open a letter unless I pray about before I read it. He said, I don't drop a letter in the mailbox until I pray for the person. He said, I don't take a drink of water without. He said, it's just as natural to pray for that water it is as to open my mouth to receive it.
Sure.
Amen. It's so, and then he was talking about, he said, I pray for my students when he was an instructor at Virginia Military Institute. And he said, I stood at the door and he said, Lord, prepare me. Because when I walk in that classroom to prepare these young men, and he said, Lord, help them. And so everything that we all, you know, everything that we approach God with, approach it in prayer. And I think about that. Lord, I want to be that way. To have that prayerful attitude, first thing when you wake up in the morning, everything that you do is a prayer to God, communing with God. So God bless you this evening. We're going to get right into the word. I don't want to keep you too long. 1 Samuel chapter 9, as you can see here on the screen. And we'll talk about the way, being in the way, and not being in the way. That's what Brother Adam said. So that's what we want to talk about, being in the way. And God has a plan for us. He has a way, and we need to be in that way.
Amen.
Amen. So let's just all bow our heads, and we'll speak to the author tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful for another time to be in your house, Lord, together with those of like precious faith. Father, Lord, together around your word, Lord, you said that where two or three are gathered in your name, you'd be there in the midst. And Lord, we just pray tonight that you just come and have your way with us tonight. Speak to each heart and each life, Lord. Father, for those that are watching through the internet, Lord, that will be watching later, I just pray that, Lord, they receive a blessing. Lord, just touch them, whatever they have need of. Father, for the sick and the afflicted, Lord, there's just so many that have a need. Father, you know each one in my mind, Lord, the ones we've prayed about today, and Lord, the ones that have a need, whatever the needs are. Lord, I pray for those that are in Kentucky, Lord, and the path of those tornadoes, Lord. Just every time I see those pictures, Lord, you just be with them.
Amen.
Lord, be with Mom in the hospital, Lord. Lord, just continue to bless her. Lord, we've seen you move before. We know that you're the great physician. Lord, you've done it once. I know that you'll do it again. Father, we just pray that everything is said and done will be for your honor and glory tonight. Bless us, anoint us, lead us by thy understanding, Lord, by thy grace. Lord, that's what we need in this hour. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 says, now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeor, the son of Bechorath, the son of Ephiah, a Benjaminite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Just imagine that. That's what you think about where Saul started. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, now take one of the servants with thee and arise, go seek the asses. And he passed through the mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha. But they found them not. And they passed through the land of Shalem and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjaminites, and they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass, and now let us go thither. Preadventure, he can show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here a man, the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. And just want to look here in the scripture on the, looking at part of Saul's life. And, you know, it's amazing when you think about Saul and what the scripture said about him. Was a great young man. He had a good upbringing. And you know, he went out to do the work of his father. And we know that, as the scripture tells us here, you know, they went looking for the animals, the donkeys. And, you know, and many times in our lives, we look at things that come our way, and just as Saul, no doubt, thought this is just doing the Father's work, and, you know, just the day-to-day type thing that we're going through. But, you know, when he come to that place, he come into that area after they'd done all of the journeying through and trying to find the donkeys, they come to that place. But, it, you know, his servant just happened to mention, it's like, you know, there's a man of God in this area right here. We've reached this place, and, you know, we ought to go see him, because the things that he says of God surely come to pass. And he said, you know, and we've looked for these animals, and no doubt he can tell us where these animals are, and we don't have to keep looking for them. But, you know, Saul, knowing, and as the scripture tells us, Saul was like, well, we don't have anything to bring to him. Because when they would go to see the seers or the prophets, you know, they had respect unto them to bring them something. And it showed respect unto the office of the prophet. And so when they come and had just that little bit to bring to him, he's like, well, we'll go and see. But, you know, we read later on in the chapter, if you read the chapter, and, you know, we know that as Saul and the servant, they would go to try to find Samuel. God has already spoken to Samuel and told him that there's a Benjamite coming that I've called. And so he's looking at this as just as a happenstance kind of situation, but he don't realize that he is in the way that God has called him in. And so, you know, he's like, well, we are in this way because this is what my father's asked me to do. And then the servant says, we need to go see the prophet. And so here's in the way. Well, let's go find the prophet. And he just thinks we're just doing this because we're trying to find my father's animals. We're just doing what the father said. And Saul don't realize that God has called him. Because the scripture tells us beforehand that Samuel is told of the Lord that Saul is coming, and he said, I'm going to make him king, that I'm going to make him a leader in Israel. And we know that Samuel had already set aside a portion of meat for Samuel and Saul to eat. He had already prepared all these things, had planned these things to take place and what was going to take place. And here's Saul going into this situation, and he's just there, and, you know, kind of taken aback by the things that because they go and they look for him and they don't even know who Samuel is. And when they come out there and they start looking for him, and the first thing that Samuel tells him, he says, "I'm the seer, Saul." And it no doubt catches, you know, Saul off guard because, you know, "I'm looking for this man. I don't know who he is, but I know he's a seer." And they, you know, he asked about him and everything. But when he walks into the presence of Samuel, then Samuel begins to explain to him what his job is, what God has called him to. "You found favor in the eyes of God because you are to be anointed to be a leader. God has called you to something." And the first thing that we see that Saul says, it talks about, you know, I come from a small tribe. You know, how am I going to be called up to do anything? Because he sees himself, because when Samuel begins to prophesy to him, Saul begins to see, "Hey, I'm inadequate at doing this." Because he has humility at the fact that God is calling him and realizing, "I can't do this. Why would God call me?" And he steps into a realm of humility, understanding the vastness of the job that's been laid before him. But Samuel's telling him, "Listen, God has called you, and not only has he called you to this, he set him before the people and he fed him, but he said, listen, you're going to be on this journey and you're going to see these landmarks along the way that you know that you're heading in the right direction." You know, when he leaves from Samuel as he begins to travel, you know, he goes on this journey, you know, as he begins to leave, he tells him, he said, "Listen, you're going to meet men that have bread and they have kids." And he said, "They're going to give you portions and then you're going to continue on." He said, "Then when you get into the land of the I believe it's the Philistines, you know, when you go on," he said, "then you get into this place," he said, "then you're going to run into the school of the prophets." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "When you reach this place," he said, "the anointing is going to fall upon you and you're going to begin to prophesy." And the scripture tells us that when he began to do these things, he said, then all of a sudden, exactly what Samuel had told him happened. And then, and not only had Saul, God had spoken to Saul, but then all of a sudden the people began to see. Because when he began to prophesy, it's like, Saul's with the prophets? Why? Because people began to see that the anointing had landed on Saul. God had called him. And people began to see. So, you know, it's the same way with you and I. You know, you don't have to work yourself into something. You don't, why? Because if you're anointed of God and God has called you, then he's going to anoint you for the job. And you know what? You don't have to fight. You don't have to struggle. Why? Because if you're in the way, as Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So if we're in Christ, then you know, we don't fight, we don't have to fuss, we don't, why? Because God makes a way. But you know, it's just like Saul, he was standing there and thought, "Well, how am I supposed to do these things?" Well, Samuel wanted him to understand, to be encouraged. Listen, you're not doing this because God has anointed you to do it. And if he's anointed you to do it, then it's not you going to have to do it by yourself. It's not you doing this. It's God leading you. And so, you know, that's the way it is. To start out is to know how God's going to lead you. I don't try to lean in my own intellect or my own understanding. The scripture tells us, you know, not to lean on our own understanding. You know, because if God has called us and he's gifted us, well then you know what? God is the one that operates the gift. As Brother Ram said, when it come to preaching, you know, God placed a gift in a man. He said, but you operate the gift. So when we come up here, it's not us having to do anything. But it's a harmony. It is a synchronous operation. Amen. Because you know what? It's really hard to preach to the walls. If you ever tried to do it. You know, because that's not the way it was designed. And so when you get into a situation, you know, we just don't come to church, you know, so somebody, well, we're just going to sit here and we're going to listen to the preacher. Well, you know what? Then you're not in the right atmosphere in the right way. Then the preacher, you know, I was listening to, I went back and listened to when, Brother Darrell Ward was here. You know, and he got up here and he said, who's going to help me preach this morning? And he said, what are the rest of you going to do? Because, you know, he only got a few hands raised. You know, it's like, well, you know, because, you know, it works that way. You know, everybody likes free. Even if you just smile at the preacher, it's nice. Even if you nod off for a while, if you wake up, just smile. It's a benefit. As Brother Donnie Reagan always said, not a little louder. But I mean, at least, you know, you don't look like, you know, people are mad at you. I mean, you know, it's really hard when, you know, and I know it bothers other people, but let me tell you, it does not bother me whatsoever if you go to sleep. If you nod off, it don't bother me. Because you know what? I'm just going to continue to preach to the people that are watching.
Amen.
And if you nod off and you only get part of it, that's okay. We'll be here when you wake up. Because you know what? I've been there. You know, I've come to church on Wednesday nights and it's everything you can do. You put everything into it just to stay awake. We're human beings. I understand that. And you know, but it's okay. I understand. But you know, I mean, it's a working together. You know, I've never seen if you've never had to stand behind a pulpit, even if you just have to get up here and read the announcements or read prayer requests, it's nice to have somebody smile at you. Or nod or something. You know, because when you get up here, I mean, even when you do public speaking, even if you're not just preaching, but I mean, if just in public having to get up before people, you know, it's nice to have somebody that you feel like they're on your side. And so, that was free. But. Yes. But you know, it's all of us working together. We all have to be in the same, because you know, as we get here, it's not just that, you know, we're just here to warm a pew, but it's us to be in the same atmosphere, to create the atmosphere, amen. To be in the same, be in the spirit.
Exactly.
Amen. Because you know, as you know, You go to a ball game or a movie or anything like that, everybody gets engrossed in it. You know, I've never seen anybody walk in to a ball game and you know, they go into this ball game and it's like, well, I'm just here. You know, because somebody comes, because they've went someplace and they've done something. Most of the time when you go to a ball game, you've had to pay money. It's cost you something. Why? Because you've had to put something in. Well, you know what? I expect something in return. But you didn't come there as like, well, you know what? I don't like either one of these teams and I'm just here. I've never seen anybody do that. Have you? No, if I'm going to watch a ball game, I want somebody on, you know, and Adam, you know, he's a big football fan. And Adam, he has this thing. It's like you can't watch football unless you have somebody. Who are you pulling for? Well, I'm just enjoying the game. I'm just enjoying the game. I don't have to have a dog in the fight, as they say. I'm just enjoying it. But you know, it's like no, you got to have somebody to root for. But you know, you don't see people going there. It's like, you know, I'm just here. I wish I was at home. I wish I was somewhere else, but I paid good money to be here. Has said no one ever. I've never met anybody. Have you? So if we come to church, then we should have an expectation. If we come to church, then you know, because you know, when I come to here tonight, I didn't come just to see all of you. Oh, that's nice. But you know what? It would be an utter failure if Christ didn't come. If God didn't come and speak to us tonight here, then you know what? We gathered in vain. Then it's worthless to be here. We wasted our time. But you know, we come with an expectation to be here. We set aside this time to be here tonight. So when we come in the door, then when we made an expectation to, because He said that wherever two or three are gathered in My name, He said, I'm there in the midst. So if He's here tonight, then what did He come here to do? You know, God didn't come here tonight just to run a tangle up and down your spine. Because you know what? If He doesn't speak to you from the Word, then what's the gathering about? Because you know, we can stand in the presence of God, but you know what? If He doesn't speak to us from the Word, then we've missed it. Why? Because we stand in the presence of God to commune with Him. It's to speak to Him and have Him speak to us. Then it's, Lord, what are You trying to say to me? What have You said to me? Lord, I just want to sit here tonight and open up. And lay aside everything else. I want to push the world outside that I can talk to You, that You can talk to me, that when I leave here tonight, that I've heard something that's changed my life. Not just to say, well, we've had a good social gathering. We've had our religious duty. Well, if we've not heard, if not changed somebody's life, because Brother Branham said, you either leave here better or worse than you got here. And sometimes, well, I didn't get nothing out of that service. Well, you know, it's time to check up. Amen. Lord, what was I supposed to get out of this service? Amen. And lots of times, you know what? It's a seed being sown. Amen. I walked out of services and I had no idea what was said. I was more confused when I got out, and it's like, you know, but you know what? It's like, well, that was a waste of time. Well, sometimes it's not a waste of time. You know why? Because the Lord put something in your way. And you know what? Now it's time for you to do something about it. What are you going to do about it? Because how many times have you heard, I've heard preachers preach things and something just grabs a hold of me. And let me tell you, I don't know what it is. But it's just like, this is not right with the Word. There's just, I mean, it sticks, as they say, it sticks in your craw. There's just something, I mean, it just, I mean, the Spirit just, it just, I mean, you know, it locks up. I mean, it's just like, you get this warning, it's like, and then you're trying to figure out what the problem is, but you don't know. You know, I think about when Brother Branham was reading the questions in the seals. When he's doing questions and answers, you know, and he read the question wrong. And then all of a sudden, you know, he stops in the middle of all that. And he's like, well, who's sick? What's going on? Yeah. You know, because something caught, it's like, that was wrong. But you know, he didn't understand what was going on. Right. And then the brother tells him, said, read the question again. Right. And then he realized, oh, I misread that. He said, then I spoke and I realized, oh, I've answered the question wrong. Right. The Holy Ghost called him. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes I've held on to questions for years. And I could, and it's just like, you see things, but you see things that Brother Branham said and things that are said and people, what people believe. It's like, but I don't see that. And you just struggle with it. And so, you know, God gives you those things and not, I hate to say this, but you know, it's not like you're wrestling with it. But you know, it's something like Mary, it's something you hold on to. Right. It said she heard the things that Gabriel had said, and the scripture said she pondered them in her heart. Right. And so you take the things that you've heard and you begin to work with those things. And I told Brother Dale many times, I said, the two best the two kinds of preachers that I like, the good ones and the bad ones. Yeah. The good ones because they'll help you. But sometimes the bad ones will put stuff out there and it's like, what? And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, well, you know what? I'm going to study up on that. And it's like, you know, when you hear something wrong, it's like you go and ask somebody a question. It's like, well, what do you think? Explain this. Show me. And then you have, you know, some brother or something, or even when you have a question. How many times have you ever had a question about something? You're reading and you're looking at something, and just like Philip and the eunuch, you know, he's sitting there reading all this stuff, and Philip shows up and says, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" "No, I don't." Is he speaking to someone else, or he's speaking of himself? And then all of a sudden, Philip begins to speak the word to him, begins to open up. How many times have you heard, you know, you're sitting there reading something you don't understand, and all of a sudden Brother Branham said that God was obligated to put a man behind the pulpit to answer the question. How many times have you read something or you heard something, and it's like you're dwelling on that, and the person sitting behind the pulpit opens up and begins to speak on that very subject? And all of a sudden it's like, oh, I see that now. And sometimes it's so simple, but you know what? It takes God to open it up. It's not us, but it's God leading us.
Amen.
Begin to speak the word to us.
Amen.
So it's us. Let him be in the way.
Amen.
If we're in Christ,
amen,
let him lead.
That's right.
See, there's only one place is to be in Christ. If you're in Christ, it's not just our own way of going. But he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He has a way for us. And many times we look back over our lives and we wonder why things happen the way that they do, and the things that have happened, and we question things, and just like, you know, all things work together for the good. And it's like, well, Lord, I'm trying to find the good in it. And you know, it takes many years for us to get to the point where we can look back and say, well, thank the Lord for all those problems. Why? Because we've been on this journey for a long time. We've been on this road, on this journey. We've been in the way. But many times, you know, people can get discouraged along the way. But as Brother Bram said, you know, God's made the promise. It's God's promise to you to lead you. And so, this is from Melchizedek, the great prince and king. In 1955, Brother Bram says, "And now we found salvation that will save us from sin, that will take the vilest woman or man, drunkard, prostitute, and make them a child of God." Well, that same faith, that same power that will lift up a fallen man or woman like that, it'll work for us in many different ways. It'll heal our bodies. If you can just find the right approach, you've got to find how to do it. Like if I had a farm over on this hill full of good grain, and it's just about dead on account of water, and I've got an artesian well on this side of the hill. Well, I can't make that artesian well throw the water down here and up this side of the hill to water it, but I've got to survey that land and find out how that water will take its own current and course and come around and water that crop. It'll do it if we just let it run its own channel. He said, and that's the same thing the Holy Ghost is in God's promise. He said, if we'll just let it run its way and not us get in the way, not us throw our doubts there because this didn't or that didn't. Just let God's Holy Spirit working in you rest upon that promise. It'll do just exactly what God said it would.
Amen.
So if we have a way, then we just don't let ourselves get in the way.
Amen.
But knowing that He's got the way. He is the way.
Amen.
And so He said all we got to do is have the right approach. To find the way that God wants to work.
Yeah. Amen.
So if we understand, then then we know to find out what God wants us to do. Many times we have problems in our lives, and the biggest problem that we have is we kind of mess with it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think it's Donnie's got a sign at the shop, and you know, it's mechanic fees, and you know, one of them is so many dollars if you want the mechanic to fix it. But it, you know, it's more if you want it done fast. If you want it done correct. But you know, one of the highest fees that you have to pay, one of the highest mechanics ones, is you, if you've worked on it before, you have to pay more than anybody else. It's the highest bill. Why? Because you've messed with it. And many times we want God to fix our problems, and the problem is we've muddled with it. And we won't get our hands out of it. You know the little story about the little boy that had the toy and he wanted his daddy to fix it. And he said, son, he said, I'm never going to be able to fix it if you don't turn it loose. But the problem is we want to muddle with it. We want to, well, I got, you know, it's like people when you try to tell them the right way to go, when there's a right way to approach something, and you've got people, and it's like, no, I can do it this way. You know, one of the worst things, if you're in a trade, if you're a carpenter, or you're a plumber, or anything else, Brother Gary can tell you, and then somebody's like, oh, I got a cheaper way. I got a guy that can do it cheaper. And you got somebody that read something on the internet, and they're going to be a DIYer, and they're going to try to do something. But you know what? If you don't follow the principles, there's people that's had pictures, and you see receptacles standing in the wall, and water shooting out the receptacle, and they said, do I need a plumber or an electrician? Why? Because somebody don't know what they're doing. But somebody thinks, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But the problem is the same way, you know, God wants us to realize, you know what, we're not capable of doing everything. Amen. If we, you know, the problem is we need to step back and say, Lord, I'm going to turn this over to you. Amen. People have battled things for years and years and years, and they go going around the same mountain facing the same problem. And you know what the problem is they're still holding on to it. Amen. They're still waiting on God to do it. And it's like, well, you know what, you've never let go of it. You've never put it in God's hands and just. And many times the problem is when we get to the place where we put it in God's hands and we just take a step back, it's like, well, Lord, you ain't touched it yet. Lord, you ain't touched it yet. Well, you know what? You put it in God's hands and you know what? You don't worry about it. When you go out and plant a field, a great crop. You know, waiting them, going, done all that planting out there. You don't run out the next day and after. See if them seeds are still there. No. Now, you know what? You prepare the ground.
Amen. That's right.
You've prepared the ground.
Yep.
So, you know what? We're going to go through there and we're going to get all the rocks out. We're going to get all the weeds out. We're going to get everything that's not conducive to what we're trying to get done. And as soon as we get all of that scraped up and thrown out, then what we do, we need to find out what's in the soil. So when we check the soil, what kind of fertilizer needs to be added into it. So when we figure out exactly what we're trying to grow, because you know, the worst kind of crops you can get is when you're out there planting and the soil is absolutely devoid of whatever it needs.
Right.
So if it needs nitrogen or whatever else and there ain't nothing in there, you know what? You're wasting your time.
Yeah,
so what do? You go down there and you can test and find out what needs to be done. Well, then you got to get the right fertilizer. Well, that's the same thing with you and I. When we have a problem, then you know it's like, well, I'm gonna figure this out on my own. No, I need to go back to the Word of God. I need to get into the Word because you know what? If I'm sick, then you know what? The Scriptures that talk about God's healing, that God's healing power, then you know that is what I'm claiming.
Amen. That's right.
By the Scripture, 1 Peter 2:24 tells us. He said, "By His stripes we were healed."
Amen.
Past tense.
Yep. Right. Yes.
So you know what? If I need healing, then you know what? It's already a finished work of Calvary.
Amen.
He took the stripes on his back.
Right.
And you know what? It's a great dishonor And it's a great disservice to God when we come and He took those stripes on His back. When He went through all of that, for us to stand there and doubt what He said He would do. When He came, here He come all the way through. He was scorched, rejected, mocked. All the things that He suffered in this life to bring you eternal life. When we look and see what He done for us, and He took those stripes on His back, all the things that He went through in this life that He had to struggle and pay for, all the, no human man could go through the suffering that He went through. But you know, when He went through all of that, then He rose from the dead and conquered and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
He took the keys and He gave us overcoming power.
Amen.
That the scripture tells us, He said that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
Right.
That He's an overcomer. That you and I are more than conquerors through Him that loved us.
Amen.
Then if He's overcome these things, then you know what? It's a dishonor and it's a disservice to God to stand up, Lord, will You heal me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if the Lord's going to heal me or not.
Right.
You know, but that's the human nature. That's the way the devil wants to bring it and wants you to approach it as, you know, God's not going to do something. Why? It's already done.
Amen.
It's just like people seeking the Holy Ghost. He said He wanted to give it to you more than you want it.
Right.
Well, if it's a finished work that he's given it, and He sent His Word to us, then what is the problem?
Yep.
It's with us.
Right.
Exactly.
As Brother Bram said, one of the problems that we have, he said, it's because people are not taught the new birth. He said many people just sympathize with it, but he said they've not been taught the truth. And many people, they get to this place where the Holy Ghost is some kind of hocus pocus something. But you know what? There's a sure way, a sure foundation to be built upon that will lead you and guide you that way. Just when God calls you, wherever you were, out in the world, out in sin, wherever you was, on a loading dock or, you know, wherever, that God comes and speaks to you, wherever you were at, then when God comes and speaks to you, then you know what you had to do is you had to accept Him.
Amen.
When you were in church and you were just sitting in there, and maybe you were there because you wanted to see some girl or some guy, or mom and daddy made you. But somewhere along the way, God called your heart and spoke to you and called you, and you answered that call.
Amen.
Well, you know what? You didn't have to do anything to do that.
That's right. Amen.
You had to take God at His word.
Right.
Why? Because He began to call to you, and when He began to call to you, then you answered that call and said, "Yes, Lord, I realize I'm lost.
Right.
I'm lost, and I need a Savior.
Yes.
And I heard Your call.
Yes. Yes.
And I want to answer that call, Lord. I want You to be the Lord of my life." And then you know what? There's the foundation that you lay, that you understand and say, "Lord, I understand that I need to be baptized."
Yep.
And when you come in, and He said, when you repent, He said, and then you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Then you understand, this is my act upon Your word.
Amen.
Because I've taken You, because You've spoke to me that I understand the condition that I'm in. And I understand that You've called to me to bring me to this place.
Amen.
And so I'm stepping forward. And then when You understand that I need to be baptized, well, Lord, I'm going to the water. Why? Because I'm going to fulfill Your word.
Amen.
Lord, I'm going to do what You asked me to do.
Right.
Well, then you know what? When you lay that foundation, He said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Well, then you know what? When you've done your part, then you know what? He's obligated to do His part.
Amen.
Then we understand that through opening of the Word, when you walk with Him in the Word, then you know, then, hey, you still fight the same flesh. You still got the same desires. You go through the same struggles. Why? Because it's still a battle, but you know what? You're still holding on to the Word.
Amen.
Why? Because one day, as you begin to understand, as you become taking on the Word, then you start to understand, hey, when I get closer to God, then you know what? The things of the world lose their attraction.
Amen.
But you know what? The devil is trying to pull you that way.
Amen.
And he's like, well, Lord, you know what? I still got a temper and I still got all these things that keep pulling me back. But you know what? We got to understand there's grace there. Why? Because he called you to begin with, then he's going to cover you, but you got to keep coming back.
Amen.
You know, I think about Jim Brown. I was like, Brother Carroll always used to talk about Jim Brown, you know, the great big running back or fullback for Cleveland. You know, Jim Brown, you know, he played and people just, and the first thing they wanted to do, as soon as they got on the field with Jim Brown, they said, man, we're gonna knock him out today. We're gonna hurt him. And that was all they done. And they would run at Jim with everything they had. And they'd knock him down and he'd get up and he just dust himself off, get right back in the huddle. And it was like, and the guys that were hitting him and just about knocked themselves out. And it's like, I don't understand why he's like that. And you know what? And Jim always told him, he said, I'm not ever going to let the enemy, the other opposing team, I'm never going to let them know that they hurt me.
Yeah.
He said, I get up every single time. He said, I dust myself off. He said, I get back in the huddle. He said, I do it again and again.
Amen.
And so it's the same way, you know, we don't allow the devil to get in the way and try to hold us back. What do? You know, hey, we're going to fall. You're going to sin. You're going to have these problems. But what do? You go back and you get back under the blood and you put it all under the blood. And you know what? Then you move on.
Yes.
We don't have to harp on the things that we've done in the past. Why? Because if God is faithful, if he's called us to this journey, if he's called us to this way, then brothers and sisters, then you know what? He's put it under the blood and he's forgot about it.
Right.
Then you know what? He's called you into this journey to continue on. But if he's called you that way, then you know what? It's our job. We're obligated. Pardon me for a second. Choosing, Dad. Amen. Thank you. I was stepping on something. I kept trying to figure out where I was going. Standing on my shoestring. Yeah, me too. That would be a bad thing. But anyway. But you know what? When we get on this in the way, then he's made a way. Then you know what? God don't want you to stop. God don't want you to get tied up in the things of the past. But you know, we spend more time dwelling on the things of the past. And you know, somebody will say something to us and you know, we'll spend all day worried about things of the past. And you know, many times we get to the place, you know, we've got to come to have confidence in God and understand, you know, those things are past. You know, when it's under the blood, then you know what? Then we need to just work on purging our mind and getting these things out. Why? Because the way to do that is we need to get into the Word. And get into the place, because the Scripture tells me there is therefore now no condemnation. Those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, then you know what? If I'm in the Spirit, if I'm walking after Him, then you know, this is the way that He wants me to go. Then you know what? I don't need to worry about the past. But you know what? There comes a day, because you know, as the more we walk in the Word, and the more we walk in the Word, and the more we meditate on the Word, then you know what it does? Is it pushes the old man out. It pushes that unclean spirit out. It's gotta come out. Why? Because the Word is coming forth.
Amen.
And there's a process in that.
Amen.
But you know what? You know, if you fall, well then time to get back up.
Amen.
And continue on.
Amen.
And don't dwell on the past.
Amen.
And then just keep going forward.
Amen.
But you know, as we see in the Word, as we begin to walk in that and dwell in that and meditate in that, then you know what? That unclean spirit's gotta be driven out.
Amen.
And then, you know, because it's a promise of God for that to take place, then the same token, as you live in the Word and you dwell in the Word and you meditate in the Word, then you know what? You have faith in God that the Holy Ghost will come and take up residence.
Amen.
Why? Because he promised it. But it's the same faith. You just continue to walk day by day by day and meditate in the Word, and he's obligated to come to you. And you know what you do? Is you stand there and you bring the Word to God, because he said that he wants you to bring him the Word. Brother Branham said, he said, you become the Word as you feed on the Word. Amen. And he said, he'll quicken the Word as you bring the Word to him. Amen. So what do? We continue to hold the Word.
Amen.
That I'm not giving up. Why? Because I have this great promise.
Amen.
I have this great promise that's laid out before me, that you know I can just keep walking. I'm walking in the way that God has called me to.
Amen.
But you know, many times the problem that we get into in our walk, Brother Branham was talking about, and he was talking about the way of holiness and a highway of holiness. And he talks about, and there's a way. And Brother Branham talks about when you get into this way, you know, he said you can be in the highway and be in the gutter. But he said, but where you need to be is in the middle. He said, because there's this highway. And he said, there's a post on one side and a post on the other. You see this great road that's laid out in front of you. And he said, when you're walking, he said, you need to get up on the highway, the way, up in the middle. He said that because that's where the smooth road is.
Amen.
So when we get in there, see, many times we get over on one side, we get over here too far this way, or we get too far over here on this side, and you know, we get distracted. You know, I've got to, you know, Levi's learning how to drive. And let me tell you something. It's like, listen, and I know he's not going to like this, but when you drive, you got to follow the rules of the road. And one of the things I told him, I said, what's the proper speed for you to be driving? And he just gives you this blank look. The proper speed for you to be driving a vehicle that we insure is a speed that you can properly handle that vehicle.
Yeah, right.
Right. It's not what's posted on that black and white sign out there.
Because
if it's 45 and you think you're going to drive more than that and you can't handle it, no, you need to be at 35. You need to know how fast you can handle this car. And you know, many times he gets distracted with things and you know, then all of a sudden he's trying to make turns on two wheels like he's driving in the Dukes of Hazzard or something. And it's like, listen, you slow this thing down. One day we were out driving and he was all over the place. I think it was Thanksgiving. We was going to Nicole's, my sister's house. He's out on the road. Next thing I know, I pull this truck over. He looked at me like I was, what? Over, right here. Side of the road. This paved area right here. You see this paved area right here? We're going to park the truck right there. Out of everybody's way. And let me tell you something. Let me explain something to you. When the roads get narrow, and there's a ditch on this side, and you're weaving across the double yellow line going this way because you're trying to weave, you're going too fast. You're going the wrong way. Because if you can't handle it, and when you get four or five cars behind you on a two-lane road, you find a spot on the side of the road and pull a truck over and let everybody pass you. If you're a Sunday driver, on Wednesday or any other day of the week. But if you're a Sunday driver and you're out on the side of the road, you're going down the road and there's posted speed limit and you think there's a parade going on, it's time for you to be courteous and pull the vehicle over and let everybody else pass. And they don't cost you nothing either. But you know, when you do this thing, but I pulled him over and I want to talk to him. Listen. We need to have a little conversation. Because when you get back on the road, then you need to straighten up. And many times that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to have his little roadside chat. God will pull you over to the side and he will have a talk with you. He pulled you over and said, listen, you're going the wrong way. You're going a little too much this way, a little bit too much that way. You got your eyes in the rearview mirror and you ain't going in the right direction. And all of a sudden, you know, we got to slow it down so we can get in the right direction.
Amen.
So, you know, many times God wants us to be mindful of what we're doing. God has a way for us to go, and we need to be mindful of that.
Amen.
That God has called us, and we need to follow that path.
Amen. True.
And so when we get wrapped up in things of the world, or things of this life, and we get so wrapped up in things, you know what? Then we, as Mary, when Gabriel had come and spoke to her and told her, Gabriel had come and told her. Now they sat out, Joseph and Mary sat out there and read the scrolls and talked about that God was going to send the Messiah.
Sure.
That they knew that was what Isaiah said. They read the scriptures. This is what was going to, that he was going to fulfill these scriptures. The Old Testament prophets talked about it. David talked about it in the Psalms. All these things were going to take place.
Right.
And they talked about it. But when Gabriel come to tell Mary about it, and then she's like, well, how can these things be?
Yep.
Well, you know what? All God wants you to do is believe.
Yeah.
How can these things be, saying I know not a man?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did Gabriel tell her? The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you.
Amen.
All, and so all you need to do is believe.
Amen.
Just trust in what he said. And then she said, be it unto me according to thy word. So she took exactly what he said and she held on to that. Even when she went, lived in a world of ridicule and all these things, and even when Joseph didn't understand what was going on. But you know what? Joseph had to come to his place and he had to have a revelation whether the Lord could speak to him and tell him this is what's going to take place. This is what's taking place. But then years later, after he was born and she had raised and all, you know, we've seen the shepherds and the wise men and all these things that happened. And then Simeon prophesying,
yep.
Anna prophesying, all these things that took place all the way through the journey.
Right.
And then one day she's like, your father and I salt you with tears. After all that time, God's speaking to, and then we deny the testimony, deny the word. And so it's the same thing. We after all the things that we've been through, and then we stand and deny the word. And it's like, well, I don't doubt the word, Brother Wayne. I don't. It's just like, I don't see how this is going to take place. And it's like, well, you know, I don't want to doubt the word, but you know, the words that come out of my mouth is doubting the word. It's like, well, you know what? I'm not going to say nothing. As they say, you know, we energize our mouth before our brain's engaged.
That's right.
And we begin to speak things. And you know, it's just like, we speak things, why? Because the devil tells us that.
Amen.
And we go, well, you know, I'm just whatever comes. But you know, that's what the Holy Ghost wants us to do, is stop. No. I'm not listening to that. God made a way.
Amen.
And so when he brought me this far and he's done all these things, when you look at the things that God has done for you in the past and you say, well, I don't know if God's going to, you know, it's a total disrespect to God,
Amen.
Dishonoring God. When you look back and you sit down and just write down and think about all the things God's done for you up to this point in your life. When you've gotten jobs, when nobody else has gotten jobs, I tell everybody, and I want to share it with you, and a lot of y'all know, but you know, I was working for a company, lost the keys to the truck, lost the keys to the van, couldn't find them anywhere. We searched high and low and everything else. Couldn't find them anywhere, but you know, after searching, I was praying that night.
I was down and like, Lord, we need those keys because we got to do a job tomorrow. And I don't know where they're at. Nobody knows where they're at. And I went to bed that night and Brother Ron Spencer came to me in a dream. And you know, Brother Ron, you know, he's just all happy and jovial, you know, just grinning from ear to ear like you know, everything. And I was just so tore up. I was like, Brother Ron, I said, I don't know where those keys are. I said, you know, we need them. And he told me, he said, Brother Aaron, don't worry about them. God knows where those keys are. He said, don't you worry about them. Well, the next morning when we got to the shop, we got a little shop out beside the man's house, and they had a little barbecue grill set there, and we had this little container behind it. We put drink, you know, aluminum cans in, but a solid black grill sitting there right by the door. And my keys had a plastic number one about that tall. It was orange. And let me tell you something. If you put orange on top of a solid black object, it stands out. And when you've got people walking past that door in and out all the time, somebody would see an orange tag standing on top of a solid black barbecue grill. But you know what? Nobody saw that. But the next morning when we got there, those van keys were sitting on top of that barbecue grill. It's like, you know what? Because I have a Heavenly Father that is interested in the little things in my life.
Amen.
And when I got laid off from that job, I was sitting at the house I was looking at my computer screen, and we were getting ready to go to the fellowship meeting. And the fellowship meeting was over by the Homers. And I was sitting there one night that day, and I was just looking at the computer screen, and I was thinking, you know, I'm trying to find a job. And, you know, you just get so frustrated with things sometimes and you don't know what to do. And I was just sitting there and the Lord spoke to me and he said, do you know who's preaching the fellowship meeting today? Hadn't thought of it up until that point. But Brother Ron was preaching that day. And I went to the fellowship meeting that day and I was sitting there and I was talking to Brother Ron. I think the first time Brother Ron was here, might have been the second time. We were standing back here in the back. I was telling him about losing those car keys. And I was telling him about him coming to me in that dream. But I went in there, we sat down over at the church and, you know, we were sitting there eating. I was telling Brother Ron about this job. And I told him, I said, you remember about the dream about you coming to me? Trying to find those keys. I said, well, I'm looking for trying to find this job and I've got openings and avenues or whatever, leads. And I said, nothing's panning out, you know. And Brother Ron told me, he said, Brother Aaron, he said, you just believe. And he said, I'll pray.
Amen.
And it wasn't long after that I got the job that I got now. I started in a different department than the one I wanted to be in. But I got in the door. And I was talking to a man one day. He was my team leader. And I was telling him. And they asked me about my resume and everything. I said, well, they got my resume. Everybody's got my resume. Everything's taken care of. And he told me, you need to go talk to this man. So I went up there and I talked to him. And I told him who it was. And he said, oh, yeah, I got your resume. Just show you how the Lord works. He puts people in your path that you need to, in the ways that you need to go. But I went and I talked to him. And then they came back later and they told me, he said, listen, you got maintenance assessment you need to take. And they let me take time off. To go take that assessment to get it done. It took me 2 days. I'd done one half of it one day and the other half. I went and worked, you know, the first part, and then they let me take some time off and go do it. And that guy that put me in the right direction, Lamar, he told me, I went and took that, and he said, well, you got an interview this afternoon. So I went to the interview. So I didn't hear from him for like a day, and the next day, Lamar came by and told me, he said, listen, you start maintenance, the Monday or the Tuesday after Memorial Day. And I've been there ever since. And I've had people tell me, they's like, well, how did you get that? So we had resumes in and we ain't heard nothing from maintenance. Nobody said anything to us. And I told them, I said, it's not what you know, it's who you know. But see, the thing is we don't get worried up or worked up about it. Don't worry about it. Why? Because he's made a way for you. Just follow what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Just go the way that He wants you to go.
Amen.
I just want to cover this one little part right here. Before we finish. But this is 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we know that as Saul became the king, you know, he left the way that he started. He left that humility. He got away because he wanted to be himself. And he didn't want to follow and be led of God. You know, and you know, the scripture tells us there, you know, it says, and then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen, which I heard? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? When he was little in his own sight, when he was humble to what God had said, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Therefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So when he begins to speak there, then the Lord had spoke to Samuel and told him, listen, you need to go talk to Saul. And this is where Saul is, and you go and talk to him, and you tell him. But hearing all of this, when the prophet stands before Saul and tells him, you've not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Oh no, I've done what the Lord wanted me to do. Oh, I followed it. No, you didn't. And that's the reason I'm here, Saul. The Lord told me, I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me last night. Don't argue with me, Saul. Because the Lord told me this, and the Lord, I'm not saying this. This ain't coming from Samuel. This ain't coming from the pastor. This ain't coming from some preacher. But it's coming from God. They listen, you've not followed what you were told to do. But listen, we're gonna take these great things that we have fallen upon. That the Lord has blessed us with these things, and we're gonna sacrifice them to the Lord. See, this is the way we want it to work out. Well, the Lord's blessed me with these things. No, you need to get rid of them. People want to hold on to things, and the devil wants you to hold on to them, and that's what the devil's trying to tell you, and the Lord's trying to tell you, you need to get rid of this stuff.
Right,
well, I, you know, it's going to work out great. Don't worry. No. God told him, said, listen, all this stuff that's in your way, these enemies, don't leave nothing and utterly destroy it. So when the things of the world are in the way, and all these things, the old man and all these things that we fight, you know, we're not supposed to pet it. It's to be utterly destroyed.
Yep. Go ahead,
to flee from it.
Right.
He said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of rams. So God didn't want all their sacrifices. And everything. God wanted somebody to be honest and follow the word.
Amen.
Is what he's told in the New Testament. You know, he was not in the sacrifices and offerings was not what he was wanting. But he said an honest and contrite heart. He wanted somebody to believe him. Somebody to follow the word.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Not to offer a bunch of sacrifices.
Right.
He said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry.
Yep. Right.
Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.
Amen.
And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord.
Yep.
And thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice.
Yep. Right.
Because you know what? He listened to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. We'll just do it this way. Well, you know, one of the toughest jobs that you ever have is being a boss.
Yep. Right.
It's being a leader. Being a leadership position. Because you know what? Some of the things that you have to do in life is not fun. Just like being a parent. Not everything about being a parent is always fun, but you know what? You're obligated to do it. And everybody's like, well, we'll just let it slide this time. Well, we'll just let it slide. It'll be okay. People wonder why, you know, if you just pet the devil in your kids and you let them get by with everything, and then you wonder why they turn out the way they do. You know, when you're the shepherd of the flock. You know, I've never seen a church, and I've said this times before. But you watch a church when things happen, and you make a place for the devil. Why is it so important when sin come in the camp? Because when Achan committed his sin, and Joshua and them, you know, they stopped everything. Why? Because God told them, listen, there's sin in the camp. There was a time, listen, now's the time we're going to stop all this. And he started weeding it out till he figured out who the problem was. So, you know, and you see churches, when you allow things to take place and nobody corrects these things, then you know what? All of a sudden, then when those things take place and somebody turns a blind eye and they don't listen to it and they don't correct it, you start watching. Because the next thing you know, the things that they start preaching out of the pulpit is an error. Why? Because when you allow the devil to come in, when he gets his foothold in, you watch and see if it don't start affecting the ministry. I've never seen it once where when they start getting in, next thing you know, it's going to affect everything. Why? Because it's so important. It's such an important part to lay a hold of all that. And people say, well, I don't understand why the preacher don't get a hold of it. Don't do this or that. Well, you know what? You're not the pastor. I'm not the pastor. And you know what it takes? It takes the Holy Ghost to work. And you know, there's people say, well, you know what? If it was me, I would just kick them people. Or, you know, I would just, it's like, you know what? You wait on the Lord. And many times people say, well, you know, if I do it, I want to do it this way or whatever, and then you'd find out, well, if we'd have done it the way that you wanted it done, it'd be an utter mess. It'd be chaos. But you know what? It takes the pastor, and he has to deal with some of those things. And you know, he has to bear those burdens. And but you know what? There's a time when if you keep holding it before the Lord, then you know what? Then all of a sudden, then it'll take place. There's something that the Lord will speak and something will take place and then the word will come forth and it'll address that a situation. But sometimes, you know, if we try to do it in our own selves, then the problem is, you know, we make a mess out of it. And everybody's like, well, I don't understand why they don't do this and why they don't do that. It's like, well, how do you know that the Lord ain't spoke to Brother Dale or Brother Wade or whoever about those situations? People act like, you know, well, if he, you know, just like when Jesus was there and that prostitute was down there washing his feet. Well, if he knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't let her wash his feet. But you know what? Here's this ill-famed woman, but she had more respect for the Son of God than all those Pharisees and all those religious leaders who thought they were so holy and pious and so great. And this woman who knew who she was, but she knew who he was, and that she would honor him by taking and washing his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair. Why? Because they wouldn't do that. Why? They had put him in a place to ridicule and mock him. But she saw who he was. She didn't take into consideration who she was. Yeah, she knew who she was. But you know what? She saw the dishonor that was done to him. And it was something that was inside of her to do that. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. And therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid upon the skirt of his mantle and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring me hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went to his house in Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Samuel until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. So, Brothers and sisters, it's a serious thing to follow in the way that God has called us. God's made us, made a way. But you know, God's not always going to be, as we think, God's not always going to be angry with us. Let's all stay in this evening. We'll have the musicians come. God's not always going to be angry with us. But you know what? God is calling us to the place. And if you've sinned, then you know what? God is calling you. God will speak to you. And you know what? God is calling you back into fellowship.
Amen.
God is so good. He's so gracious. And if you fail, well, then you know what? Don't give up. But you know, if we start the way that Saul did, seeing how humble he was, then you know we all to keep that. Amen. Stay humble before the Lord. Amen. That if we are a child of God, you know, then the Holy Ghost is inside of us to lead us. Then you know, The Holy Ghost is not one to just let us wander and do whatever. The Word has come to reach us and to bring us to the place where we need to be. But don't let the devil hold you back. Don't let the devil get in your way. If you're in the way, then you're in the right way. Then let, Lord, show me the path in which I should travel. That I need to walk. Lord, show me which way that I need to go. Because you know what? He's promised that to us, that He'll lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I want to be in the way that God wants us to be. Let's sing that song this evening. Fill my way every day with love. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone. I like that. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, I want to walk that way. I want to be in the way that God has for us. It's a way of the despised few. But praise God, that's where I want to be. That's where the blessings are. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Why? Because that's a promise. If you're in the way and you got battles and everything, problems, discouragements, He's got a place for you. I'm looking forward to that, because you know what? It's going to take us all the way. I'm down here on this journey, but you know what? This ain't my final destination. I'm going to a place. Eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. What God has in store for us. Brother Bram said it's from the ridiculous to the sublime. He said, whatever. He said, don't miss it. That's where I'm going to. Amen. Let's sing.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone. Leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Yes, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh, let me go. Smile, fill my way every day with love. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never endure.